Hi, welcome to the Bucko Fever Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Franson. Thanks for tuning in today. Hey, it's here. 2022 season is about to start. And the Pirates are being the Pirates. making moves that kind of are head scratchers, but you know, you gotta hope that there's a plan there and there's a reason for it. And I think for some of the moves, there's definitely some reasons. But I want to take, going to talk about the Pirates, man. Talk about like what this 2022 season is going to look like. You know, the minor league season started last night. So that's cool. Cool to have something, something going on. See some guys, you know, getting at bats and, you know, getting some innings in, that we didn't get to see a whole lot of in spring training or at all really. Yes, go take a look at all that stuff. But before I do, let's have a quick message from Anchor. So, you know, the Pirates do or did what the Pirates do, and that's try their best to infuriate fans. You know, the Pirates probably lead the league in that category, or pretty darn close. You know, lots happened since the last episode. You know, this roster's taking shape. They still have yet to announce like the finalized roster as of this recording. But I believe that should probably come, you know, sometime today, or they'll announce it, you know, tomorrow. They still have some things to do. They need to clear some roster space for backup catcher and probably an outfielder, but who knows. But you know, the first thing the Pirates did over the last like week or so that really kind of set people off was first, you know, sending O'Neill Cruz down to the minors. Cruz started off red hot in spring training, as you know, anybody following the team saw. You know, we got to see that power that, you know, makes you, you know, drool. You know, really kind of makes you get excited for O'Neill Cruz in the big leagues. But Pirates sent him down. A lot of people are pretty upset about that, because, you know, the new rule this year where if the Pirates had, you know, had him up and he finished in the top so many spots for Rookie of the Year, they could earn additional draft picks, which is something that you think the Pirates would covet, right? But, you know, not necessarily enough at this point to keep O'Neill Cruz up. And I have mixed feelings about this. I get it. I get the frustration with the Pirates that a lot of the fans have on social media, especially about, you know, sending him down and, you know, why not play your best players? And I get that. I do. Like I said, I could go either way. Like, I'm okay with them sending him down. Mm-hmm. The reasoning is this team's going to be bad, right? This is not going to be a good Pirates team. I think they could surprise some people and be a lot better than expected. But I still think they have a, you know, ways to go. They still have a lot of guys in the minors that need to turn a corner and make that push for the big leagues before this team, you know, really, really takes some big steps forward. I actually think they're going to be better than last year. But, you know, that all that remains to be seen. We'll see what happens. I think some of the coaching changes, the new hitting coach, I think we should see some improvement there. And I think we did in spring training. So, like, sending Cruz down opens the door to continue to take looks at some guys who, you know, had the pedigree, you know, had the hype coming up through the system, you know, like Kevin Newman, right? I've talked about him on past episodes, and I truly believe that there's a major league regular in there. I still think there's a 300 hitter in there somewhere. I think that, you know, the new hitting coach could maybe hopefully get him straightened out. He had a pretty good spring overall, and with the glove that he brings, I mean, it's not it's worth giving him a look, right? You know, worst case scenario, he's terrible. Or continues to be really light hitting. And then, you know, the Pirates can move on. If he all of a sudden becomes that player we saw back in, 2019, you know, when he hit 300, over 300, you know, if that guy comes out, man, that's nice. I mean, that's a nice piece to have. And what does that mean for Newman? Honestly, I think it's just increases his trade value. I think if you could get Newman in that 280 to 300 range, you know, I think that his trade value jumps. And instead of getting, you know, a couple lottery tickets or, you know, low level prospects, you might be able to get somebody who is, you know, more advanced or more highly touted. You know, Newman, it's all up to Newman. I mean, you know, he went from 308 in 2019 to around, you know, averaging about 225 in the last two seasons, right? So he has some ground to make up there to really lock himself into this roster for the rest of the year, because there's guys pushing and they're all up. I mean, right now, Cole Tucker. I think Cole Tucker deserves a longer look. You know, the end of last season into spring training, Cole Tucker has looked like the player who we all were kind of hoping for, right? You know, he has yet to really put together a solid run in the big leagues. The most at bats he's had in the season was in 2019 when he had 147. But he's, you know, he's a low 200s. He's a career 217 hitter in a total of 373 at bats. So there needs to be improvement there. I think he is athletic enough that he could be an okay utility guy. I think that's like the middle ground. For him, I think that, you know, he could very well play himself off the roster. I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. If he falters, then they know, right? If he plays well, kind of pushes himself into that Newman realm where just increasing his trade value. Or if he really plays well, then, you know, there's another piece you can have around for a little bit. But I think they deserve looks. And, you know, I think one of the things this year, you know, you still have all those utility guys. You still have, you know, Hoy Park sitting there. Yeah, he's not going to play too much shortstop, but, you know, he is in that same mold as those guys. For whatever reason, they went out and got Josh Van Meter. And then they have Michael Chavis. So there's going to be movement. Guys are going to be playing all over the place. You know, I'd rather give these guys here a final shot. You know, if this team was contending, so if they had, if they were a lot better all around and they were legitimately contenders, I could see, you know, definitely I'd be more upset, I think, if they didn't push Cruz. With a contender, you're not really waiting. In my opinion, you don't really wait on guys as long as you do as a bottom dweller or, you know, a team in total rebuild. Because that's the thing to remember. The Pirates are still in a rebuild. You know, they've stripped pretty much everything down that they possibly could. There's still pieces. You know, if Newman hits well, if Cole Tucker hits well, if Hoy Park hits well, you know, those guys could be, you know, trade bait. You know, don't know what kind of return they're going to get, but something. And that's really what the rebuild's going to do. It's just, you know, they're going to keep looking for additions, look for to beef up the system. And it's pretty robust right now. But they're going to continue to look. And that's kind of smart. It's not the most popular approach. People, fans are, you know, obviously upset about it still, because they're just waiting for the rebuild to end. And I don't think we're there yet. I don't think the Pirates are where they can say, let's shut it down, we're not dealing. I don't know if they'll ever get to that point. Small market teams, you know, have to be prepared to move guys. We just saw the Rays trade Austin Meadows, right? You know, as you have other pieces coming up behind people, those guys are expendable to just kind of, you know, beef up the system more. So you have guys coming up behind the guys coming up. I didn't get the Josh Van Meter deal. Unless they're looking at him as more of an outfielder than an infielder, but that remains to be seen. Like, we'll see what happens there. But, you know, Cruz getting sent down to AAA, you know, if they keep him down there for a while, and that's probably what they're going to do, it's probably to manipulate the service time. Would it be better to have Cruz in this year for a full season when they're terrible, or would it be better to maybe have Cruz longer when they could and should be in contention? You know, that's the end goal. I mean, that's, you know, what I think Ben Sherrington's working towards, building the minor league system so they have the prospects ready. But, you know, if you have O'Neill Cruz could be a superstar. I think he's come along, he's come around. And in the last couple of years, and he just keeps getting better and better. So I'm okay with him sending him down, really. I'll take him another year. I believe it's, 2028? If they hold him down for a little bit. I think he'll be up this year. Obviously, if he goes down to AAA and just rakes, you know, and just pounds the ball and everybody else in the big leagues kind of struggling, he's gonna force their hand. Like, he's gonna force his way onto the roster. You know, he was 0-for-3 last night. You know, in one game did walk. But, you know, he's still pretty young. And that's the thing to remember with him. You know, he's not gonna be 24 until October. So he's still on the younger side. So, I mean, he's got plenty of time. We'll see him this year, barring any injuries or anything like that, or just, you know, if he drops off. I mean, you have this in spring training where guys are on absolute fire. And I think the Pirates, you know, looked at it more of long term. And that's really what they should do. They should be looking long term. One of the guys who I think that they, you know, brought up, because you do, you know, need guys in the big leagues, and it's nice to get that hot hand, but, you know, Diego Castillo. If there's a guy you can argue that's had a better spring than, O'Neill Cruz, it's Diego Castillo. The guy killed it. And so, you know, he definitely deserves a shot. And my only question is, how much are they going to play him? And, you know, with Ke'Bryan Hayes looking like he's going to start tomorrow and be good to go, you know, Castillo should, in my opinion, be the starting second baseman. Because you're growing with that hot hand. You're going to continue to get Cole Tucker and Hoyt Park and those guys at bats. But, you know, why not just stick with Diego, see what happens. And if I'm going to end up calling him Jose and Luis at some point. But I catch myself doing it all the time. But Diego Castillo, you know, what he did in the spring was fantastic. And, you know, you have that in the spring where somebody just starts on fire. And he definitely did that. And I don't know why my Alexa just turned on. So, anyway. So, Diego Castillo could be a good story to follow. You know, he just got better over the last couple years. You know, last year was a really good year for him in the minor leagues, you know, and with what he did in the spring, maybe they got lightning in a bottle there. Because something's got to work out for them at some point. Right? but anyway, so that was the first big head scratch, like the first frustrating move that the Pirates did, was sending O'Neill Cruz down. The second, who I kind of mentioned, was trading somebody for Josh Van Meter. I don't get it. I know Van Meter has been highly thought of in the past. You know, the Pirates love buying cheap prospect or cheap guys who used to be big prospects. Anthony Alford would be another good example. But when you had that many infielders, I don't know why you added him. We'll see. But another head scratcher yesterday, and what makes this even more interesting is, you know, where some of the guys that were on the roster ended up, or, you know, in camp ended up, was the Pirates went out and signed Andrew Knapp to be their backup catcher. Andrew Knapp, you know, hasn't set the world on fire. His bat has never really, you know, been consistent in the big leagues. He was once, you know, a pretty highly thought of prospect with the Phillies. But the Pirates went out and signed him instead of going with Michael Perez, which is the interesting thing for me. And the fact that Michael Perez is nowhere to be found, right? He's not on Indy's roster. They haven't announced, you know, what they did with him. he could have maybe opted out or, you know, asked to be released, or maybe they're, I don't know, figuring out what to do with him. But like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get, and even, like, there's like a lot of stats out there that show that Knapp was worse than Perez. So not sure, you know, what we're doing there, what the Pirates are doing there. But they did it. You know, Andrew Knapp does have some pop. You know, I don't know if that translates to the big leagues. It hasn't yet, but we will see. But yeah, that one didn't make any sense. You know, I when I saw that announced, there was all the hype that they would be adding a catcher or acquiring a backup catcher. I had hoped that they had made, you know, some kind of trade, and who knows, they still might, especially with their other catcher who was in camp. Well, they had Taylor Davis, but he couldn't play in the big leagues because he was released, and then the Pirates re-signed him. So they have to kind of wait on him. But the Pirates had Jamie Ritchie. I couldn't think of his name. I kept wanting to call him Todd Ritchie. And that was a Jamie Ritchie. You know, in camp, looks like he got hurt. I would imagine he would have won the job over Michael Perez. But, you know, this is something to watch. Like, again, talking about a backup catcher isn't the most exciting thing, but it's just kind of, it's a head scratcher. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It makes sense, but it doesn't. You know, if they were just done with Michael Perez, didn't just, we'll find that out when they make the announcement. But, you know, the injury to Jamie Ritchie may have, you know, forced their hand there. So, how do I feel the Pirates are going to fare this year? And I kind of mentioned it earlier, you know, not well. I think we're going to, like I said, I think they could be better. I think they could surprise people. right? The Pirates are always kind of in that realm of a team who, if everything goes right, which it never does for anybody, but if everything goes right, they're a 500 ball club. I think that's their very, very, very top highest ceiling that they could possibly hit this year is around 500. I don't think they're going to make that. But I think you could argue the Pirates are probably, you know, could be a 70-win team. You know, if some of these younger guys click, if Mitch Keller clicks. And that's the thing. Like, the Pirates are, I believe, and I feel, they're due. And there's no way for me to, you know this other than, you know, maybe I just want to believe it. But I feel like there's somebody on this team right now that is due for a breakout. And whether it be a Kevin Newman going back and reclaiming the 2019 form, or Cole Tucker finally becoming a productive major leaguer, or Yoshi. I mean, you get a full year out of Sisugo this year. In the small sample size that the Pirates had last year, you know, Sisugo was pretty solid. You know, for the Pirates last year, he had .268 with 8 home runs and 127 at-bats for them in 43 games. Those are his best numbers to date in the big leagues. If that's the Yoshi they get, that's a huge win. Yes, they will most likely trade him at the deadline, and he will bring back a decent return. However, you know, maybe they don't. You know, maybe Yoshi becomes a cult hero and, you know, sticks around for a few more years anyway. We'll see. So maybe Yoshi breaks out. Maybe it's somebody like Diego Castillo. Originally, I'd hoped that Michael Chavis would have been the guy, but he's the one I kind of doubt the most, I think, at the moment. You know, maybe Ke'Bryan Hayes gets his ankle thing figured out, and maybe he puts together a full season of what we hope we can get out of Hayes. In the outfield, you know, Reynolds is going to be good. Ben Gamble is going to be Ben Gamble. Like, he's going to be a solid major league ball player. He's not going to wow anybody, but he's going to, you know, work hard and play hard. You know, he had a good year last year for the Pirates. You know, after picking him up for pretty much nothing, .255 and, you know, 326 at bats. You know, 8 home runs. You know, maybe this is a year he takes another step forward. He's 29. You know, he's been he was a well thought of prospect at one time. So maybe he takes another jump forward. But like, somebody's got to break out. You know, pitching wise. The rotation is sketchy. The Pirates need everything to go right, right? And that's not going to happen, obviously. But, you know, starting tomorrow on opening day, you got JT Brubaker making the start. Brubaker looked like Brubaker in spring training. When he's on, he's got nasty stuff. When he's off, he gets hit, and he gets hit hard. I think that's Brubaker. I don't know if Brubaker gets any better. I think that's, you know, if he can just be consistent and not go through those spells of, you know, just getting shelled, you know, maybe hold it together a little more. And that's really what you ask for, you know, any pitcher. But he could be long-term. Or at least, you know, for a few more years. And we're traded. You know, if he has a good year, you got other pitchers coming. You know, the Pirates are still in rebuild. Are you going to trust that Brubaker is, you know, if he does pitch better than he has yet, are you going to trust that that's who you have? Or are you going to bank on, you know, him taking some, you know, steps back? I don't know. So Brubaker for sure, we know is in the rotation. They haven't really announced a whole lot yet. But then you have Mitch Keller. You know, is Mitch Keller going to take that step forward? From what I've seen in spring training, it's kind of trending that way. You know, he had some moments where he looked like Mitch Keller, but he didn't necessarily get as totally frazzled as he had in the past. You know, that last start, first couple innings, he looked fantastic. And then he had a typical inning where walks, some hits. But he settled down and he didn't blow up. You know, he limited the damage. I really think it would be huge for the Pirates if Mitch Keller were to take his game to the next level. I don't expect him to be a Cy Young candidate at all. I think if you could just get him to be consistent, to be a guy that you know you're gonna get at least five innings out of. You know, every game, and he's not gonna, if he can just get the pitch count down, like that's a doable thing. And the Pirates are set up, and you know, with the bullpen to kind of bridge those gaps. You know, Will Crow looks like he's going to the bullpen, and I'm okay with that. I think Will Crow's an interesting pitcher. Again, not a Cy Young candidate, but he has really good stuff. He has a lot of pitches. They're all solid pitches, but, you know, if, you know, one or two of them just don't work for him that day, he gets hit hard. If Will Crow can, you know, if he goes to the pen, you know, and you need two innings out of a reliever, three innings maybe, it's nice to have him out there. And they have other guys that will be out there too, probably, that can do that. But as far as the rotation goes, you know, the rest of the rotation still kind of up for grabs. Jose Quintana, obviously, would probably start the home opener. I don't know. I don't know how long he's going to be in the rotation or with the Pirates. He did not look good in spring. He's a veteran. Again, small sample size, getting stretched out. You know, if he could just pitch like he has in the past, not necessarily in his, you know, great years, but just be an innings eater, dude. Be like Tyler Anderson last year. You know, he is just going to be a trade candidate. But I don't think you'll see the Pirates sit and just throw him out there week after week after week, start after start, if he's struggling. Because they have other guys. Are they great options? Not necessarily, but they have other guys. So those are your three. I think the rotation rounds out. Personally, I think Zach Thompson's going to be in there. Zach Thompson's a lot like the other guys that I talked about. He looks dominant at times. And then something just won't click. You know, he'll lose command of a pitch or you know, just get hit, you know. And so, but I Zach Thompson showed some promise last year with the Marlins. I like Zach Thompson. Did I say Zach Thomas? Zach Thompson. Yeah, I mean, I think he could be good. You know, he last year, 3.24 ERA, kind of pitched both in the pen and out of the rotation. 75 innings. You know, held opponents to 2.27 average with a 1.21 whip. So that's pretty good. I thought he had a decent spring. So, you know, is Zach Thompson somebody that has a breakout year, has that year where he just takes it to another level? Hopefully. But I think he's definitely in the rotation. And to round that out, I think you're really looking at Bryce Wilson and Dylan Peters. Probably Bryce Wilson over Peters. I think Peters either moves out of Pittsburgh, maybe go, if you know, probably designated for assignment. I don't know if they trade him. But I think he could end up in the bullpen as well, you know, be the left-handed version of Will Crow, be the guy that could give you a few innings. Dylan Peters battles. Like, he goes right at guys, but in this, he had a rough spring. You know, this spring he got hit pretty hard. Ended up with an ERA of 10.13. That's not encouraging. But again, it is spring training. You know, you got to always take all the stats, the good and the bad, with a grain of salt. They're just getting used to everything again, getting themselves back into a rhythm and a routine. But Bryce Wilson, yeah, his numbers were slightly better, but he still had almost a 7 ERA. He got hit, and he got hit hard. But yeah, you got to think that, you know, that probably Bryce Wilson over Peters. The Pirates also seem to have Miguel Yajure on the big league roster. I don't know what that looks like, whether they're looking to have got a more long inning guys, like guys that could cover 2 to 3 innings if they need to. Because, you know, it was a shortened spring. Guys aren't pitching 5 innings yet. You know, there's still 3, 4. So maybe that's why. Or maybe he'll be the extra starter. Maybe they've decided they've seen, and you know, they saw what they needed to see out of Dylan Peters and Bryce Wilson and are ready to kind of look at the future. I don't believe that's the case, but we'll see. The bullpen is, you know, I think they still have some moves to make there. Like, there's still some decisions, but I mean, it's gonna be Bednar and Stratton in the back end, Heath Hembree in there. Aaron Fletcher makes the team because of Sam Howard's injury. I'm actually okay with that. Howard just hasn't looked right since he got hurt last year. Hopefully he can return to form, but this happens. You know, relievers, once you, you know, pitchers and relievers, anybody, and once you have an injury, sometimes it's just hard to really get back to form. And that could be the case with Howard. But you'll have your extra, your long relievers in there, your Will Crows, your maybe Dylan Peters, your Hurray. Dwayne Underwood Jr. will be in there again. Saw a mixed bag out of Underwood last year. You know, he had a solid spring. Didn't see him a whole lot, but he had a solid spring. So I think he's a solid reliever. You know, if he just can, you know, be a little bit more consistent, stay healthy is another key thing there. I wouldn't be shocked if the Pirates bring in another reliever. You know, there's guys floating around. I also wouldn't be shocked if to clear roster space, the Pirates ended up dealing somebody, like a Chris Stratton. I think you'll see him dealt most likely later in the season. But I do feel like, you know, there's got to be a little bit of a market for him right now. But, you know, we'll see what happens. The Pirates should be finalizing everything, you know, today or tomorrow. But, like, they, you know, they made a lot of moves. Like, they sent some guys back to the minor leagues. I was really surprised that Jared Eichhoff went to AAA. I thought he would have made the team, and he still could. Like, they still could just move him over. But that one was the shocker for me, if I could call it a shocker. Like, I was surprised. I thought he pitched really well. Which makes me wonder why Yajure is up there and not Eichhoff. If they look at Yajure as being a you know, maybe in the rotation. Who knows? And that's the thing, the Pirates don't tell you anything. And that's another frustrating thing for fans. I feel like sports teams, yeah, they're there because they have fans, right? If without fans, there is no sports team in wherever or what, you know, whatever league, whatever city they're in. But I also don't feel like they need to explain every single thing. The Pirates lean towards the secretive side. I wish they'd been more transparent and more open. But, I mean, other businesses, other places, they don't owe people anything, you know, unless you're like a stockholder or something. And I can get the kind of fans are, in a sense, stockholders in a way. But, you know, the Pirates should be more transparent. Sure. They definitely should. It would be nice. But, you know, who knows why they're doing what they're doing. So yeah, Indy ended up with a pretty good mix of prospects. They do have some, you know, some placeholder guys there. Of course, you know, Jared Oliva, you know, is there. Jared Oliva may never see the big leagues again. I think he was given, I don't know if he was given enough opportunities, but like, I think he was given enough opportunities. I think the Pirates know what they have there. And I think he's been jumped. I think, you know, the outfield right now, I think the big question with the Pirates outfield, is where's Bly Madris? Because he's not on the roster in Indy. They only have three true outfielders on their current roster, and one of them is Greg Allen. And all reports show that Allen's going to end up on the injured list. So there's that. I get that they have all these utility guys. That could be where Van Meter falls in. You know, you could get Seymour, Colt Tucker in the outfield, or Hoy Park, or even Diego Castillo. And I'd be okay with that. But I would like to have another true outfielder on the roster. And Madris did enough in spring training. You know, the guy's not getting any younger. He may have just clicked. You know, go with the hot bat. And the fact that, like, Bly Madris is not a franchise player, you know, most likely. Stranger things have happened, but he's probably not a franchise player. But he's hot. Like, he is red hot. Him and Castillo, absolutely on fire. Why not give Madris a chance at the big leagues, especially with Allen hurt? I think Madris outplayed Allen, and Allen outplayed Alford. But with Allen hurt, that clearly opens a spot. So it looks like Allen's going to end up on the IL. We don't know if it's the 15 or the 60. But I think they should put another outfielder on this roster. But, you know, after that, you know, some of the guys, you know, in AAA, Cal Mitchell had a home run last night. You know, I think him and Smith and Jigba and Travis Swaggerty will be the starting outfield for Indy for a while. I think we'll see probably all of those guys at some point this year. The big key, and I didn't want to, I was sitting on this, is Brian Reynolds. I struggle with Brian Reynolds, not the player, but with what I think the Pirates should do. I think they should try to extend him. You know, the reports are they're trying to extend Hayes right now. I think if you could get Hayes under contract, I think that would be a little bit of some encouragement to fans. If you could sign Reynolds to a multi-year deal or an extension, that's huge. And I think that the Pirates genuinely want to do that. I don't know if they're ready to pay for it, as we've seen with letting it go to letting Reynolds go to arbitration. You know, the rumors are that they have talked to Reynolds. They have given him some offers, and Reynolds turned it down. So it's not really that they're not trying. Are they trying very hard? That's the other question. We don't know numbers. And I would guarantee you they lowballed him. Guarantee. Same with Hayes. I'm sure what they offered Hayes last year was a lowball offer. And I'm sure that it's up from that. But Hayes is a gamble. Like, Hayes has yet to put together a full season of productivity, right? A lot of injuries. So do you trade Brian Reynolds? If you get an unbelievable offer, right? Like, if you end up, if the Padres call and they say, look, we're going to give you one of our starters because we have a surplus, Paddock or whether they're not, they've had their ups and downs. They could be salvaged. Plus, the Padres, like, two of their top three prospects and maybe another guy or two. Like, if they give them, like, a five-player package, kind of similar to what they did for Musgrove, but with more highly rated guys, like Abrams or Campesano. I think the Pirates have to do it. And fans are going to lose their minds. But I think the Pirates have to do it. This is still a rebuild. And they're close, right? They're close to being done. I believe they're close to being done. With the big, massive overhaul. The pieces left on this roster that have value right now are few and far between. You have Reynolds. You have Stratton, and it takes a big drop. Like, obviously, if I'm going from Brian Reynolds to Chris Stratton, you know, you're going from top value to middle of the road pretty quickly. In the difference between, like, one player. But Chris Stratton, Yoshi, if Yoshi has, like, Yoshi probably wouldn't get you a whole lot right now, but if he starts the year hot, and, you know, is pretty consistent, you know, he could bring you somebody back. Same with Vogelbach. Like, Vogelbach didn't look great this spring. But, you know, if he is doing what Dan Vogelbach does and, you know, hitting home runs and walking, you know, he could be flipped. Gamble could be flipped. But the only exciting name there, I guess Quintana, you could throw some of those guys in there. But the only real exciting name for me, this is Brian Reynolds. And if Ben Cherington gets the right offer, he has to do it. Does it set the Pirates back? Maybe. But we don't know what Ben Cherington's thinking. And I think that's another frustration for fans, is they don't know what he's thinking. They want him to stop trading everybody away. They want them to build this team up with free agents and everything. Free agents aren't going to help this team right now. If this team had added, like, Max Scherzer and Carlos Correa, you'd spent that money on those big name free agents. What good would it have done them? Right? They've got two names on the team with a bunch of other guys who are still trying to either prove themselves or are just holding places for the next wave of prospects. And then what if one of them gets hurt? I mean, then you're just back to where you are anyway. So, if the Pirates believe that, my personal opinion is I think they believe that by 2024, they're going to be legit. This year is going to be rough. It will be fun, I think, as it goes on, because you're going to see more guys coming up and guys hopefully breaking out and whatnot. Next year will be a little bit more fun. You're going to have more guys coming up. Should see O'Neill Cruz will be on the roster most likely all year. Nick Gonzalez will either be up or really, really close. Contreras, again, health is always a thing as long as these guys stay healthy. Maybe Swaggerty, Mason Martin, maybe. Cody Bolton. Cody Bolton could make an appearance this year, which would be awesome. I like Cody Bolton a lot. But he could be in the rotation next year. Easy. So, next year will be the year where you start to see guys arrive, these highly touted guys. Then they all should have a year or a year plus under their belt. 2024 could be interesting because not only do you have those guys who are starting to establish themselves, hopefully as major leaguers, hopefully they're productive. Henry Davis, again, could be in the mix, I believe, probably next year. So you have all those guys potentially with their first full year in the majors or, like I said, just their a little bit over a year of experience coming into 2024. That's the year. Are you going to have outfielders that are going to be close to Brian Reynolds? We don't know yet. We don't know what all these guys are gonna be. Outfield's kind of their weakest spot. But Matt Frazier could be up. Hopefully he has the continued success and builds off of what he did last year. But if Ben Cherington feels like 2024, maybe they're not going to be quite ready, or they'd rather have more prospects pushing or established by then to be ready. It makes sense to trade Brian Reynolds. It sucks now, but it could pay off a lot later. And I know that's an unpopular opinion. I've seen a few other people that kind of share that. I would love for them to extend Brian Reynolds. That way you have that established bat, hopefully still producing, heading into those times. But if you get a load for him, a load of prospects, and maybe a guy that could slide right into the big league roster right now, I think they have to take it. So, one last piece before I close this thing out. I mentioned breakouts. I think there's probably going to be a guy on the big league team that breaks out. We don't know what the rosters totally look like for the lower minors. But this year, I really want people to watch Cody Bolton. I think the fact that they didn't have the Rule 5 this year was a blessing for the Pirates because they got to keep Cody Bolton. Cody Bolton really hasn't pitched in the last couple of years due to COVID and the injuries and everything. Cody Bolton, I believe, is probably better or has a higher ceiling than any of the guys in the Pirates' current rotation, with the exception of maybe Mitch Keller. Or maybe Zach Thompson, maybe. But I think he's better than Wilson. I think he's better than Brubaker. I think he's better than Quintana at this point in Quintana's career. But I think that's a guy to watch. Watch Cody Bolton. Of course, Swaggerty's another guy to watch. You know, again, with the injuries coming back this year, was a little still sore in spring training, so we didn't get to see a lot of him. But he'd be another guy to watch as well. Below that, you could pick pretty much anybody because AAA has some big names there, like Contreras and Cruz. But the Altoona curve, you know, haven't finalized anything yet, but they're going to be stacked. So watch for Carter Binns there. You know, their roster right now, if you looked on their website, doesn't have a whole lot there. They don't have an infield at all. It does have Michael Perez listed there. I don't think that's where Michael Perez ends up. But that's a team to watch. You know, watch the curve. Focus on the curve. That's where in theory and hopefully the big, big wave of prospects is going to come from. Starting there. Because I believe you'll have Peguero. You'll have... Majinski, you'll have Priester, Burroughs. Like, the pitching staff is going to be sick. Omar Cruz, most likely. It's going to be crowded. And AAA does not have the strongest rotation in the world. So you'll definitely see some of those guys come up early. Look for the breakouts. I really, some other names, like I said, I really like Bolton. Swaggerty, I think, could put it all together. Dario Lopez is another guy I think people should keep an ear out for. Jared Triolo, who we saw in spring training some, is another guy I like. And Sammy Siani, I like him too. I think those are some guys that will really, and Triolo's kind of already starting to appear on some lists, but I think those other guys could do a lot to establish themselves this year. So that's the episode for today, kind of like a 2022 preview, just, you know, talking about the frustration, recognizing the frustration of the fans, and, you know, the Pirates. If they're good at anything, it is frustrating fans. So they're going to keep doing that, especially when they trade Brian Reynolds, which I think is probably going to happen. I don't know if soon, but it would not shock me if Reynolds gets dealt by the deadline. If he's not extended, and normally you don't really talk about that a whole lot during the season. So we'll see what happens. But thanks for tuning in. I appreciate the listen. Give me a follow, or, you know, message if you want to talk. You know, hit me up on Twitter at Bucko Fever Pod, Bucko Fever Podcast on Facebook, or Bucko Fever Pod. Check out BuckoFeverPodcast.com, home of the blog, which I mention every time. And it's been pretty dormant, but once I get some time frees up, I'm going to start. I got some pieces that I'm thinking about writing. So keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on Twitter for updates on when that stuff is out. But appreciate y'all listening. And opening day tomorrow. Let's go, Bucks.